Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. In this show, we go to Bozeman, Montana to Bouquet Confections near Four Corners. We talk to founder and owner Robin Bouquet and learn how she made her sweet dreams come true, building a caramel business nearly 20 years ago. The minute I step into the showroom, I am enveloped in cooked sugar, butter, and dairy. The sensation becomes more joyful and delicious as I move to the windows and watch Celtic salted caramel being made on this day. Then when I stop at the counter where I can sample and buy candies, I knew I was in confection heaven. Let's talk to Robin Bouquet. Let's start with a pronunciation exercise, only because I believe that your name, the company's name, often gets mispronounced. And also, your key product here, caramel, which pronunciation is correct?
Well, let's start with the caramel. Both caramel and caramel are correct pronunciations. There's only one spelling of the word, but both pronunciations are correct. As for my name, Bouquet, it is confusing for people since it's spelled B-E-Q-U-E-T. We get a lot of pronunciations of it, but we say Bouquet here.
Well, and I'm glad that you set the record straight. So let's go back to the beginning. My understanding was this was a hobby. You were the fine confectioner amongst your friends and your family, and you were making caramels. How did that start, and what inspired you to make these candies?
I've always enjoyed eating fine confections, but I haven't always made them. A good friend of mine gifted me some fudge quite a long time ago and taught me the recipe. It was very simple, so I made fudge for a long time. Then we were talking about almond roca decades ago with some coworkers, and I looked in my cookbook and found a recipe for it. I like to cook, and so I went and got the thermometer and the different ingredients, and it was a complete wreck. It was literally came out powdery, and I had to throw it out. Well, my ego wasn't prepared to take a setback like that. My candy-making career, I had no idea I had one in front of me, but I wasn't going to take a complete wreck laying down. And 2 pages before in the book was a caramel recipe. I've always loved caramels, so I thought, oh, I'll come back next week and try that. So I did. And it came out great. Brought it to work, and everybody enjoyed it. When I was making it, there was one part of the recipe that made me uncomfortable, so I didn't do what it said. I tried something different, and it worked out good. The next time I made it, I followed the recipe exactly. Brought that into work, and one of my coworkers said, you know, I like the first batch better. I said, yeah, me too. And that was the beginning of tweaking it. Since then, we've added ingredients, eliminated ingredients. We've modified it substantially 5 times in the last 17 years. So somewhere in the course of that, it stopped being the original recipe and it became our recipe.
For Bouquet, making caramels may have been in her heritage.
My ancestors came from France in the 1800s, came from the Normandy region of France. What I didn't know when I started making caramel and started the business was the Normandy region of France is famous for its caramel. It's dairy farmers, not too dissimilar from Montana when we moved here. I suppose I have cousins over in Normandy making caramel as well. So I think I come by my passion for caramel, honestly.
Well, which is great. We've all benefited from that and am very thankful to you. As far as coming to this part of the world, you could have been anywhere to make these amazing candies. However, you're here in Bozeman, Montana, and I wonder why Montana?
My career took me from New York, where I'm from, to Flagstaff, Arizona. Decades ago, I worked for W.L. Gore & Associates. They make Gore-Tex jackets, and I worked for the medical products division. I was with them for 15 years, 12 of which were in Flagstaff, Arizona. Met my husband there, and then he had an opportunity with spinoff technology from Gore as a startup, and the coworker of his that was championing this effort chose Bozeman as the location he wanted to have the business in. So they relocated us to Bozeman. That was a little over 20 years ago. Then I went to work at ILX Lightwave here in Bozeman since there wasn't a lot of medical device industry at that time. There's more now than there was then. At ILX, I had a wonderful career for 3 years. We were on the cusp of going public. That was back in 2001. But instead of going public and retiring at 42, the entire tech industry is going to crater. Fiber optics, photonics is the industry that ILX was in. It had been going gangbusters for the years prior to that, but unfortunately, and a front row seat for the train wreck of 2001 for that whole industry.
Bouquet quickly dusted herself off from the train wreck. She revived the passion and talents she had for making confections. So how did her love of making candy begin?
I remembered that I enjoyed making caramel. My coworkers enjoyed it a lot. And one of my coworkers asked if I would want to start a business with her. She had worked for me at that time, and we worked very well together. She had venture capital money, but couldn't think of a business to start, and suggested we start one together. So I spent the summer playing with my children and thinking about what we might do. She was a big fan of our caramel, so I was more skeptical than she was. My husband and she were both enthusiastic over the idea, but my background was tech, and I only sold things at the high end of a market. I know how to sell the best in an industry, but I don't know how to sell the middle of the market or sell on price. So we did taste tests. And we found 17 out of 18 adults in blind taste tests preferred our caramel over four that were commercially available at that time. So that gave me confidence to say, okay, this is something I'm willing to throw myself into. Right before we started the business and launched it, that same friend discovered she was pregnant. Her and her husband had been wanting to start a family. She's going to be a full-time mom and wished me good luck with that business. She became our best customer early on. She's still someone very dear to me and has been a very good customer and friend over the years. But it was really her thinking that started me thinking about starting a business. So I am much in debt to Betsy.
We all would want a Betsy Tavik in our lives to support us. But it was also Bekay's methodical planning and thinking that led to success.
So did you have a business plan? Did you start selling at farmers markets? How did it all start? Was it started online? And it's a little bit of giving a lesson to someone who may want to pursue this. How did you start?
It was definitely bootstrapped. While I was at Gore, 15 years at Gore, Gore, even though it's a very large corporation, likes to have small independent businesses. And they had a business model that encouraged all of us to test our market assumptions as inexpensively as possible, which is bootstrapping. So we actually launched this business for under $1,000 with a licensed kitchen. Yeah, really remarkable. But I'm a fiscal conservative, and I like to be very cautious with the money that I've worked hard to earn and save. And so we did a test market here in Bozeman, Big Sky, Livingston. I think that was pretty much our first test market. I was very pleasantly surprised at how things went, especially with the reception from all the businesses that I approached. I was warmed beyond words as to how everybody in Montana was willing to try. Each time I'd present the product to someone, they'd say, let's give it a try. Montanans take making a living very seriously. We don't take it for granted. And someone else mentioned to me in the early days, it's very Montanan to start a business. And I love that about this place. Your neighbors, the businesses that surround us, everybody wants to help each other out and help each other succeed. And I've said many times in the course of our business, I don't know that this business would have succeeded anywhere besides Bozeman because of the warm support from all the businesses as well as consumers. I'm grateful.
I want to ask you a little bit about the details in your very beginning before you became mechanized. Did you wrap all the caramels? What did you do to get yourself started?
In our initial test market phase, we wanted to keep our capital investments to a minimum, so we did everything by hand. Caramel was made in a little $25 pot, a deep fryer that I bought at Walmart, because you could set the thermostat to a particular setting and I could have a consistent process. It made 5 pounds of caramel. Then we would cut it by hand. I needed a guide, and I found a wire rack at probably Walmart again. It's just a little shelf. Turned it upside down and could press the bars. The little wires are 3/4 of an inch apart, and pressed it into our caramel. That's what determined what the width of the caramel was that initial inexpensive tool to help us cut straight. Then we cut them by hand, and we wrapped them by hand. We weighed every piece to make sure that it hit a range so that if a person's buying the caramel by the piece, which most people do, we were ensuring they got a consistent piece size. I wrapped more than 10,000 pieces by hand, probably tens of thousands, before we got our first caramel wrapper. It was a $30,000 piece of equipment. Moving from our test market into our first facility, we spent about $60,000 on equipment. It was less than that. Maybe it was more like $45,000. We took out a second mortgage on our home to be able to do this. And I desperately hoped I wasn't going to be the proud owner of a $30,000 caramel wrapper with no business. Very scary time. Now I buy a $100,000 piece of equipment, you know, because it's a good investment. That's that. And there's no looking back. But that $30,000 wrapper was the scariest, one of the scariest chapters. Of course, it all worked out, but it was a scary time.
So when you said taste tests, did you bring out one sample? I mean, now you have 13 varieties. You must have just started with one basic type, or did you have a variety where you would present to your customers or taste testers, and did you ask them what they thought?
That's a great question. So we started with a classic vanilla caramel. I like my confections a little chewy. with some resistance to the bite. And so we had early test batches I would take to my daughter's figure skating club. So the moms there would give me their feedback. And one batch came out very soft, and I was very disappointed. So I was apologizing as I'm handing it out to everyone. Oh, this one's really soft. And one of the moms set me straight. The softer, the better. I'm like, really? So surprised to hear that, because we all assume that our tastes are what everybody else appreciates as well. So then we did taste tests on texture. Who preferred soft? Who preferred a little bit chewier or a little bit firmer? Our taste test showed 55% of those tested prefer it soft, 45% prefer it chewy. So we decided we better launch both. So we started with that with no anticipation we would have other varieties, or I would have named them something other than soft and chewy. One is soft, and that's the softer variety. We probably should have gotten the word vanilla in there somewhere, because that's the flavor of that caramel. We're actually in the midst of rebranding and renaming soft to rename it classic. So sometime in the next few months, don't be surprised to see the same red wrapper of our soft caramel bear the name classic instead of soft, which is a better name for it.
Well, my vote is soft, but you know, it depends on the circumstance. Listeners are, I'm sure, jumping out now and wanting to know, how do you pick those tasters? How does one submit their resume to actually be one of the tasters for your caramels? And are you thinking about branching out as far as flavors go?
New product development is a lot of fun for new varieties. We tend to try a lot of things. So we'll get in every variety of flavor that has been suggested to us over the last several years. We usually do it every couple of years, and we'll pick our next three varieties from those tests, because it is an all-encompassing, all-consuming effort to figure out which flavors we can make work beautifully with our caramel. We're always looking for a balance between the flavor and the caramel flavor, not overwhelming, but also truly represented. We get suggestions from consumers, we get suggestions from our website, people that come into the shop, our staff, our friends, our family, and thankfully, because almost all of the varieties have come from those suggestions. We typically, when we're in the throes of doing the new product development, we do taste tests with whoever happened to come in the shop. So whatever consumers are there buying, we say, do you have time for a taste test? Because we think that anyone coming in the shop is truly in our customer profile, so their opinions matter a lot. Our staff always is a valuable input as well, so we do extensive taste tests there as well. Would you like to be a tester next time?
Oh, sure.
Okay, you're in.
I would love to be one. So from Bozeman, Montana, you had to reach out to the world. Did you start going to food shows? How did you then start moving away from this part of the world?
Well, back to the model from Gore, bootstrapping and doing it as inexpensively as possible. The other thing I wanted to know was which market niche was worthy of additional investment. So when we first started, we identified five or six niches that we knew might be good spots for our caramel. Gourmet markets, natural food stores, since our flavor profile, all our ingredients align with what customers at natural food stores want, which is uncommon for candy. If you go in at, say, a convenience store and you look at the candy aisle, it's just artificial colors and artificial flavors from one end to the other, with the exception of chocolate. If you go in the co-op or any other natural food store, you'll see a wide variety of chocolate, but not a whole lot of other candies. So we were pleased that our ingredients aligned there. We thought espresso bars might be a good spot, gift shops, and maybe delis. So we did test markets in each of those by selling to the stores in those niches in Big Sky, Bozeman, Livingston. I just continued to branch out. Next, I went to Butte, Missoula, Helena, eventually made as far as Spokane. Also, when I'd travel to sell it to new stores, I'd stop in the old stores to see how things were going. And I wanted to see, where was the product? How was it displayed? What was the price point? Which items were selling, which weren't? And I learned an awful lot by seeing. So we spent the first 2 years very small, understanding our market better and also working on our recipe. Our initial shelf life was too short to really go full-scale commercial. So we spent our time doing all of those things and discovered, much to my surprise, that gift shops were uncommon to succeed with our product. Gift shops don't have the volume of customers that, say, a co-op does. So we found that natural food stores were actually our number one niche, which really surprised me. I remember standing outside Montana Harvest, the natural food store that used to be on Wilson, with my samples in hand and thinking to myself, what am I doing walking in a natural food store? These people eat healthy. Have I lost my mind? And it was only the professional in me that said, you identified it as a potential niche. You go in there and you present that product. You are not allowed to turn around. And that turned out to be our biggest, most successful niche. So to any potential business owner or entrepreneur, I say, write your plan and then work your plan. Stick with it. Even when you think you've lost your mind, because there were more than one of those moments when I thought, oh my gosh, what have I done?
What she did do by following the business plan took her to the Fancy Food Show, the premier specialty food and beverage industry event where businesses can showcase the latest trends and hottest food products. Bacay Confections received the Aisle by Aisle Award at the show and have won 6 additional national awards over the years.
When you go to something, and I've been to the Fancy Food Show, and I know that you've had a booth there, how do you, amongst the 5 football fields of booths and tables of people with food, how do you showcase and shine your product?
Samples. We have samples on the table in abundance because tasting our caramel is a surprise to a lot of people. My favorite memory of all of our trade shows is the untold number of times a buyer comes up, smiles politely, picks up a sample, takes 2 steps away, pops it in their mouth, reverses those steps, comes back and says, "Oh, my word." Nothing's more warming than that to me. And in the early days, our first show, that was very common because there were no great caramels at that time at the show. Now there are a lot of small caramel businesses that attend the show that make really some pretty decent caramel. But at the time, there was nothing like what we were doing. That made all the difference for us.
When was your first show? Do you remember?
I'm going to get close by guessing 2006, 2004. We fortunately did win an award. There's an aisle by aisle award each year at the show. They don't do it anymore, but the Gourmet Retailer, a magazine that covers the industry, sent 17 judges onto the floor, and they each get 1/17 of those 5 football fields of exhibits. I think it's almost 3,000 booths at the show. So this person is going to taste and see a lot of things. And the person whose area included our booth chose us as the best product for that 17th of the floor. It was warming beyond words because it was, to say intimidating is an understatement, going to our first show, looking at these elaborate booths people have. Right across from us was someone with a horse-drawn peanut roaster. It was gorgeous. It was an antique. It was a thing of beauty. And here I am with my tablecloth and tables, 2 varieties, soft and chewy, packaged in 2 different ways, and repeating the display all over the booth so it looked full.
Welcome back to Flavors Under the Big Sky, where I am talking to Robin Bacay.
Let's step back. What is a caramel? How is that made, just in general?
I'm a student of caramel, but I would not say I know the full breadth of caramel. I know the breadth of our caramel. There are a lot of ways to achieve a caramel, but basically you're going to have sugar and you're going to have dairy products. Most caramel has butter and a milk or a cream, although there are some non-dairy caramel available, but the flavor is nowhere near the same as when you have true dairy products. So I'd say butter, sugar, cream. Every caramel recipe I've ever seen has a sugar syrup as well. We started out with corn syrup. We moved over to tapioca syrup a number of years ago because the natural products industry, a lot of people do not want corn syrup in their products. So we, listening to that customer, we moved over to tapioca syrup. We have brown sugar in our caramel, variety of sugars. There's sugar in the sweetened condensed milk. And those sugars are everything in terms of the flavor. There are many sugars out there. I mean, glucose, fructose, maltose, lactose, they go on and on. And the interplay of those sugars are everything in flavor. We're right now working on another small tweak to our recipe to improve flavor yet again.
Several of your candies have salt. There's the salt Celtic caramel, there's the salted mocha, and the salted butterscotch. Why salt?
That's a great question. About the 3rd fancy food show that we went to, a customer came up to my booth and said, "I like your caramel, but you know, you should really try it with salt on it." And I remember thinking, that is the kookiest thing I've ever heard. But of course, I smile politely and nod and said, "Oh, thank you." She said, "Yeah, the French have been putting salt on caramel for a long time, and it brings out the buttery flavor." So again, I smiled, thanked her. The second person that came up a couple hours later with the same suggestion gave me reason to pause. But when the 3rd one came up and suggested we put salt in our caramel, I thought, okay, there's no way I can ignore this. So we came back to Bozeman and I had some kosher salt available. So I crushed it to a size that I thought would be about right and put it on the caramel. And I actually had reason to believe adding crystals at the end like that or even in the middle, but having actual crystals of salt would cause premature crystallization or premature demise of the caramel and it would no longer be creamy. So I put it in a shelf life evaluation. And much to my surprise, 2 things happened. 1, it did not cause premature crystallization of the caramel. The caramel remained creamy. And I would walk past all the other caramel in the shop to the shelf life study to get myself a piece of snack over and over and over. And thought, wow, I'm actually preferring the salt caramel to everything else we make. Then we played with different salts. And we thought of fleur de sel, would be the natural complement to our French name. And it turns out fleur de sel tastes dramatically different from kosher salt, which tastes dramatically different from the gray sea salt that we buy under the name of Celtic sea salt.
Well, and that's the fun interplay of salt and sweet. And I think that you found that great balance. And I think it just, they enhance each other as far as the combination goes. Let's go back and talk about some of the stages of your business. It was you in the beginning, your partner, and it was two, but your partner then left you to be on your own. And then you have had various stages of how you have grown your business. I know that you've had two buildings and now you're expanding again. How many employees? Where have you been and where are you going?
The early days were longer than a lot of businesses do. We were longer in our gestation period for a number of reasons, but we were in a teeny, teeny space closer to Four Corners than we are now. It was about the width of a bowling lane, one alley, and about as long. Very unusual shape. Okay, maybe it was two bowling lanes, but it wasn't bigger than that. My dad was bored in New York and he offered to come help. So he came out just exactly at the time I was starting the business. So I showed him how to make the caramel and he was my original cook. We were in that little shop, little bitty space for 3 years. During that time, I got a call from a previous coworker who was then at MSU in tech transfer there. And they were looking for someone with a biological background, very similar to mine. To make a long story short, I actually realized the math was very compelling. What they were paying for the professional role that they were looking to fill there, I could hire three people doing what I was doing at the shop and afford the photography and the fees to go to the first trade shows. So my family agreed to support my going to work full-time at MSU while working part-time running the business and hired a new employee to do what I was doing. We got the photography done for brochures, etc. Very long hours, very long days. MSU eventually agreed to let me drop down to 30 hours a week. So I was 30 hours a week there and 30 hours a week helping to run the caramel business. Eventually that got to be too much. So I resigned at MSU and that was right after we won our first award at the first trade show. So it was clear to me then from the award, this wasn't just my neighbors, friends, and lovely other Montanans telling me this was something special. The award was objective, and that helped me decide, okay, we're all in. Then we moved to a space across the parking lot from where we are, 3,000 square feet, and started hiring people right and left, had some reps added. The early days of going out and trying those different test markets is what led me to the Fancy Food Show. We discovered espresso bars were really not good market for us. Most gift shops were not, but the gourmet market and natural food stores were. So once we knew those niches were better, then we put our money into those trade shows, and then winning an award there just sealed the deal for us. So then it was rapid growth across the parking lot. Our landlord built this building for us 8 years ago. And so we've been in here for 8 years now. 3 years ago, it was clear we needed to expand, and we started the plans for the addition on the back of this building. It took 3 years to get DEQ permits and all the other details ironed out, and they finally broke ground last year, and the building is progressing rapidly now. So we expect to be in there this summer and desperately need the additional space.
Share with me some numbers. How many employees? What's your distribution these days?
We have 28 employees year-round. That's our core staff. Then at the holiday season, we add over 50 people. So it's semi-organized madness between August and late December. We add about two people a week throughout that whole time and training and getting them up to speed. It is an amazing time of year. If anyone listening is interested in seasonal work, we'll be starting to hire in August. Never too late to send in an application, but it's actually delightful. The holiday season is everything to us, and gearing up for it takes about a 16-month planning cycle. Our batches more than double the volume of caramel we make in preparation for the holiday season, and it takes many months to build that up in order to handle all the gifting that goes on with our caramel.
On your website, your first statement is, "Our goal is to make the very best caramel anyone has ever tasted. Gourmet caramel made in Bozeman, Montana for a buttery, one-of-a-kind experience you'll never forget." How did that come about?
In writing our business plan, you're supposed to write a vision and a mission. And initially, my goal was to make the best caramel anyone ever tasted. But that is a very hard sentence to write down when you are an itty-bitty business in Bozeman, Montana, and you've done blind taste tests with four other caramels. There's obviously a lot more than that out there. How can I write that? So I wrote it in pencil. Sort of my own way of saying, I have to put the stake in the ground, but my own humility will not allow me to say we make the best caramel in the world. Since then, we've done blind taste tests. We've tasted everything that we can put our hands on. And I can truly say, more than a decade ago, we gained confidence that we make the best caramel in the world. We cannot find one that can beat us in blind taste tests. And we do those tests ourselves because we know you can only taste truly taste with a blind taste test. Otherwise, your own preconceived ideas will kick in. Our own recipe, just last week, I had many plates came through my desk of 5 different or 8 different caramels that we had made in blind taste tests to determine what do we like best, what do we think is the best. So we're big fans of blind taste tests, and that is our goal, which is why we're looking at making another product improvement. We don't announce them, we don't say new, but we do extensive taste tests to make sure we're improving flavor, texture, and or shelf life, but never compromising flavor and texture for the sake of shelf life.
The change in recipe may not be announced, but when a new variety becomes available.
Those we announce with a big red new attached to them, yes.
How did some of these flavors come to be? I mean, Chipotle, that is not a combination that most people see with caramel.
Early on, we knew we wanted to make a flavorful, spicy kind of caramel. I'm not sure where the concept came from, but my husband and I spoke about it a lot. Then after one of the fancy food shows, I discovered Robert Rothschild Farms Raspberry Chipotle Salsa. It's amazing. Their whole product line is amazing. And I brought some home. And as my husband, who's a native Arizonan, he's a bit of a salsa snob. Even he would admit that. Being that close to Mexico, you have a lot of opinions about salsas. And he took one bite and said, not only declared it outstanding, but then looked at me and said, this is the spice for your caramel. And I went, oh my gosh, Chipotle.
In this show, Robin McKay basically gave us a lesson in how to start a business and make it succeed. Now, before Flavors ends, Megan Bleck, the sales and marketing leader at Bouquet Confections, shares what are some of the most popular sellers.
I would actually say that we have three, because it depends on whether you like salt mixed in with your caramel or not. So we have our soft, which is our traditional vanilla butter caramel, and we also have our Celtic sea salt, and also our salt chocolate. So a little mixture there of three that are the top sellers.
You have been very creative in your marketing, I can see, because of, from the packaging and from catering to weddings and having favors. Where do the ideas come from?
Oh my gosh, a lot of team brainstorming. I mean, we are talking about everything all the time. And taking the team approach really helps to bounce ideas off of each other. And no one here takes anything personally, meaning if I say, oh, I really love this, and someone else says, oh, I don't really like that idea, we just talk it through and we come up with an even better idea.
What are some of the ideas that have been created that has really worked for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So our gift bags, of course, having folks able to see the caramel inside the bag has been a beautiful success. But then also our Ballotin boxes are wonderful gifts. And granted, you can't see the caramel in there, but the package is so gorgeous that you just can't wait to open it up, take that ribbon off, and enjoy the caramel inside.
For Bleck, it's not just the caramel that she has passion for. It goes much deeper.
It's been really fun to be working with a product that I personally enjoy and love to gift myself. And so knowing that I am also a customer, it's been an amazing experience to be able to say, okay, yeah, I like this. I like to gift it myself, and I like to receive it even though I work here.
With the recent release of caramel sauce in a cup, Bouquet Confections continues to make flavors under the world richer and sweeter. Before I end, I want to encourage you to create your own candy flavors by twisting Bouquet caramels together. Combine an apple with cinnamon, or chocolate with chipotle, or new combinations you come up with. Many, many thanks to Robin McKay and Megan Bleck for talking to us. Theme music for Flavors Under the Big Sky has been provided by Parker Brown. Thanks to Ken Siebert for production assistance. Additional funding has been provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communications on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanians. Thanks to you, listeners, for your support. I'm Stella Fong.